And when the higher stuff starts, I pull the fader down, and then I can introduce the show over the music.
A good cue.
Yeah, it's the cue that I've been using for, what, 6 years?
Oh, dang. Excellent.
I think that's when I started using this as the opening, the Perfect. Theme music.
Do people know the name of this track?
Probably very few people do.
That's good. Can I say it?
Yeah.
Let's all go to a boring meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah,
exclamation.
This is an exclamation point. This is a piece by Jason Paul Amara, which was on our second album as JCJP.
Nice.
The album's called Relics. Let's all go to a boring meeting.
Yeah.
Inspired by his life in academia.
Yes, that seems quite relevant.
Yeah. This is I Hear I See Radio episode 130, I'm pretty sure.
Dang.
Yeah, last month was 129.
That's impressive.
This used to be a radio show, as you know.
Yeah.
Because you were on the radio with me. In fact, you were the first guest ever on the show. I don't know if you realize that.
I don't think I know that. I remember going to that at the KEXP studios, I believe.
Carrie.
Oh, Carrie.
KEXP is...
that's a whole different thing.
Yeah,
that's
where is
Washington
that?
Or think... somewhere in the Northwest.
Yeah, is that in Seattle?
Perhaps Seattle.
I think that's right.
Yeah. similar levels of acclaim for sure. But yeah, the KRUI studios, it was like, I think it was in January of, 2017,
2018.
Yeah. Dang. Okay. Yeah.
Cause I started the show in October of 17.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So it used to be a weekly radio show live on KRUI live to everyone in the broadcast area, which is not that big.
Yeah.
But now it's sort of died and been resurrected a couple of times now. I'm doing it monthly now.
Cool. I mean, even so, 130, that's a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
That's quite impressive. Yeah. Yeah.
130 monthly. It's a monthly show
yeah.
on the Rock Hard Caucus feed, sort of like my attempt at like reinserting myself into the local music community.
Nice.
And I'm setting up the situation we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
I had an interview lined up with a band, which we had to postpone. But like I said, I want to keep this monthly schedule. And we also suffered a great loss recently with Chris Wiersma. So I didn't feel like trying super hard to make a really important interview or something happen. So I thought, why not talk to somebody that I'm already very comfortable with, which is you.
Nice.
And your name I haven't said yet.
Oh, yeah. It's a mystery still, unless you know my voice very well.
We haven't introduced you yet. But I thought that you and I could have a fairly chill hour just sort of listening to music and talking about stuff. Okay, now I can probably introduce you. This is Christine Burke, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to the show. This is, I mean, you were on that episode in January of 2018, which was like, I think the 11th or 12th episode of the show.
Yeah. And then I think one more after that in a summer month.
Okay.
I think we recorded it here actually.
Yeah. It was over there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like a more of an interview thing than like live radio.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Is that all that we've done?
To my memory, yes.
Okay.
But I could be missing something.
Yeah.
Because before 2020 is just like a wash. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is my attempt at rebuilding something
nice.
Similar to what we had
before
everything died. So today we're gonna listen to, I think we're gonna just pick stuff at random from Bandcamp.
Yeah,
we should try that. And we also have recordings of two new pieces that we recorded the other night at Close House.
Yes, I'm super
which
excited
we can get to
hear all of it.
But I was thinking maybe something random to start with.
Let's do it.
Maybe something that neither of us know.
And this is an Iowa City Bandcamp, correct?
Yeah, I'm looking at the everything on Bandcamp that's tagged with Iowa City as its location.
Awesome.
And it's in reverse release order now. So like newest releases first.
Cool. Do we want to do something truly random where like one of us picks a number or something?
No.
Not that random. there is quite a variety of both album art and like group name aesthetics going on here.
Yeah, we've got something by Iowa Boys.
Yeah.
Colton Downing.
Yeah.
Larry the Wizard Sievers.
That caught my
eye. You know
eye
him,
for,
right?
I don't actually know.
Okay.
I don't think
he's like an older guy. I see him on the pedal a lot.
Oh, cool.
He kind of dresses like a pirate. So he's an eccentric community member.
Yeah. Nice.
He's got tons of stuff on Bandcamp.
Oh, dang.
He's been recording like keyboard medieval fantasy music since like the 80s.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I ran into him like a while ago, and he told me that he was still working on transferring everything that he had recorded on tape to digital.
Whoa.
To put up here. Maybe we should listen to him.
Yeah, that's, since I'm talking, he sounds about prolific.
The most recent thing he put on Bandcamp is an album called Kingdom of Knights.
Yep.
Which is very fantasy. Kingdom of Knights.
Yeah.
It's a little generic, but the album art is kick-ass.
It is, and the font is well-selected. It's one of those... I don't know how I would describe it in the most technical of terms, but there's a certain industrial floweriness to it, I would say. Yeah, very good font choice. And yeah, really kick-ass art. Whoa. Two dragons.
Yeah, there's like a couple of knights with a Pegasus that are on, it maybe like a bridge, and that's a moat on either side with dragons in it.
Yeah.
Water and fire kind of mixing together.
Man, this would have been really good for my my brother ran a D&D campaign for us during the pandemic, and kind of sad I'm just running into this now, because I think this would have been good good music, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a reminiscent of Frank Frazetta, the album art. Do you know him?
I don't know him.
Okay. I'm trying to think of a... Oh, he did the cover of a couple of Molly Hatchet albums.
Oh, okay.
with a Viking on it.
Hell yeah.
But very, very much like that, sort of painted looking. Okay, there's a lot of tracks on this. Mm-hmm. 18 tracks. There's a title track, Kingdom of Knights. King Jasper Holds His Council. Lower the Drawbridge. Knights Ride Out. Okay, this one's jumping out at me. Fight with Honor for the Realm.
Let's do it.
You want to try that one?
Yep.
Okay, this is track 7 from Larry Sievers. Kingdom of Knights, which it says he originally released January 16th of 1998.
Oh,
so
wow.
This is
okay.
Kind of old. Again, this is Fight with Honor for the Realm.
Cool.
Oh, how about that ending?
Yeah, I like it. That was a transition of sorts.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't get to hear the next one for now. But yeah, definitely left you curious with that little ending. Yeah, I felt like the drums could have been louder.
Oh,
they were
kind
of pushing the background most of the time. But maybe, I don't know.
I have to say, I don't even...
so prominent.
Yeah, I didn't even... If you had just asked me, were there drums in that, I would have said no. but only
really
because
quiet,
the synth organ thing had my attention so much the entire time. I really liked the timbre of that.
Yeah. Yeah. The organ sound is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. The drums were in there the whole time.
Man, I have to listen to it again.
Kind of just looping. It sounded like it was just looping the same four beats the whole time. Huh. I don't know. I don't know if that was just in there for him to keep time or
yeah,
if
it could
he really
be.
Considered it part of the song. But yeah, that was Larry Sievers with Fight with Honor for the Realm from his album. What was it called?
Oh,
Knights of the Kingdom, right? Kingdom of Knights.
Yes.
Kingdom of Knights. Okay.
So close.
Okay. And the one after that's called Be Knighted and Kiss the Ring.
Oh, okay. So that's where the drums were headed, I think.
Yeah, it sounded like there was a little bit of a fill getting us into something new.
Wow. This album has 18 tracks. And
and that one was 6.5 minutes by itself. Yeah.
And it looks like maybe an average of 4 to 5 minutes per song. It's an incredibly prolific album for someone who seems to have a lot of albums.
Yes.
That's really impressive.
Yeah, I don't know if this would fit on a CD now that I'm looking at all these track times.
Question. So you said this came out in 1998. How old were you in 1998?
In January of 98, I was 7.
Oh, were you born in 91?
I was born in 90.
Okay, so
September of 90.
I would have been 6. Okay. Yes.
You had to hear my age to know how old you were.
The mental gymnastics of wasn't my birthday yet.
Right,
I don't
know.
Yeah, I was thinking 6-year-old me would have really liked this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This was probably the peak of me playing with the Knights Lego sets.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The imagination aspect would have connected very thoroughly. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't like it now, because I do. I wrote down a couple things.
Yeah.
The first thing that came to mind, and this might be a bit reductive, but Tangerine Dream has been on my mind a little bit lately.
Yeah.
Do you know them?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
They did some soundtrack that I liked a lot. Do you know?
They did a lot.
Yeah, they were prolific as well.
Yeah, they really were. My dad loves Tangerine Dream. And I like them fine. But they've been on my mind lately because I've been in contact with Dylan Marcus McConnell lately. Also known on Instagram as Tiny Little Hammers. Mm-hmm. He designs all of the Feed Me Weird Things posters.
Yeah.
And going through his Instagram, I realized he actually designed a Tangerine Dream poster.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
that's cool.
It's awesome. And I don't know if my dad will listen to this episode, but I'm buying it for him as an early Father's Day present.
Nice.
It's an awesome. Yeah.
I didn't realize that's what you were looking at on your phone.
Yeah. It was like, I need to pull it up and make sure I get all the names right. But, yeah, so anyway, a bit of a reductive comparison, and I just because of the synths, it reminded me of Tangerine Dream a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I'm sure it's partially related to just the title of the track, but there's a certain exuberance to that just reminds me of the time when you started writing music before you knew much about writing music, and it was just joyful.
When I liked it, yeah.
Exactly. That was the best, and that's what this reminded me of, and that made me very happy that way.
And there's kind of a constant motion propelling you forward. Mm-hmm. He uses a da 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 rhythm, which is very forward moving.
Yeah, but somehow not, I didn't even feel like there was a lot of repetition in there. It seemed like there was a lot of evolution happening despite the repetitive elements.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about his compositional strategies or anything. I don't know. It seems looking from the outside, he's very intuitive.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good word for it.
I would like to talk to him more, but he's just a guy that I run into outside sometimes.
Yeah, not like I Googled him while we were listening too, and it mentioned the pirate hat, but they said black and white pirate hat, and for some reason that really cemented it. And I was like, oh yeah, I have seen this guy.
It's
before.
A really big hat with a big feather usually.
He wasn't the guy with the parrots, was he?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's a different guy.
More than one pirate guy in town, huh?
In the pedal.
Okay, maybe now we can listen to one of ours.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like let's listen to something else first and then get into our own stuff. So we had a show at Close House on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We shared a show with Short Americans, a quartet from Minneapolis. And you and I both wrote a piece for the Christine Burke Ensemble.
Yes.
Which in this incarnation was a quartet. you on organ for your piece and clarinet on my piece.
Yes.
I was playing Barry sax, Lex Leto was playing flute, and Keegan was playing bassoon.
Yeah, that was a killer instrumentation.
Yeah.
That was a really nice, like, just that collection of instruments is very good.
Yeah, we could all blend into each other pretty well.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, even with the organ. Actually, especially with the organ.
Yeah, the organ is good for that. I felt like the blending
in your piece was, we were like hiding in each other's sound.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite tricks.
Yeah. So your piece was first, mm-hmm. which... I think you just called it organ plus trio.
Something along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't put much thought into the titles of these. Do you want to say anything before we listen to it?
No, let's listen.
Okay, we'll listen. It's 11 minutes, so mm-hmm. it's a little bit long, but we'll listen and then maybe we'll have thoughts about it.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's so different to listen, just listening instead of playing. Yeah. Oh, man.
I hadn't actually listened all the way through yet. I just, like, did a little bit to clean it up before bringing it here. It's funny that you can hear, like, a dance beat the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that fades in and out for me a bit. I think something was going on upstairs.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things I really love about performing in the mansion at Public Space One, particularly, is the traffic noise you get. Because it's often...
It's right on a busy corner.
Yeah. You know? And the noise so often incorporates itself in a way that is nice.
Yeah, it was really... When we played that show with Ben Zucker 1 week ago tonight, right? Uh-huh. feels like a longer ago.
Yes, it does.
I don't know. But yeah, the traffic was blending in with the like electronic stuff he was doing super well. And there was something else. Oh, yeah. I mean, even the Short American set. Like,
yeah.
Like, they were doing this Vondelweiser thing.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't, like, that familiar with, but I knew it was quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quiet and sparse, generally.
Yeah, just super sparse. And, like, a car driving by becomes, like, the dominant sound.
Yeah, and in their performance especially, there were so many times throughout that I was like, I have no idea what sound is coming from where, and... I mean, like, you can recognize traffic noises, but they, at least two of them, were playing recordings,
right.
I think, of themselves, maybe, or just sometimes some other field recording type things off their phones.
Right.
And it was like, there was one time early on where I think they were playing something that had a bird in it, but it was so, I was hearing a bird, but I didn't realize they were playing it off their phones.
Right.
And it was like, something in this house sounds like a bird. It was amazing. That, yeah, their set was so fantastic. And I was in the co-op the other day, the New Pioneer Co-op, which is a grocery store. And yeah, like, Kimberly and I were still just like, oh my God, that was awesome. Yeah. That was so good. But yeah, anyway, so this was, our two pieces were in introduction to their set.
Right, right. Yeah. So what we just heard was Christine's composition, Organ Plus Trio, which I guess to explain a little bit about what was going on, I had just a Zoom recorder in the center of the room in the middle of the audience, and we were standing around them sort of like northeast, southwest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Quadrants.
Surround sound.
And you were kind of independent on the organ.
Yep.
And then the three winds, we would play chords together.
Yes. Yeah. So two ongoing processes throughout, which is one of the things I like doing just because it sets up nice moments to happen organically. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you guys had your rules, which were pretty much just one person within the trio will cue, which was Lex in this case, I believe. So Lex cued each chord. And originally when we rehearsed the piece, I think I had said any note goes.
Right.
But after rehearsing it, we decided to narrow it down to, I can't remember.
We were playing in B Dorian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which others may know as A major. Yeah. I mean, in the context of what we were playing, it was not exactly like functional harmony.
No. It was quite functional. Right. So you guys had that process going on. And then on organ, my process was to just kind of fade in and out. I think I let myself technically use any note, but I tried to stay close to you guys because I really like that sneaking in within a sound thing and growing, which this organ does really well, which is also something a clarinet does really well.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, that informs a lot of music stuff. But anyway, so yeah, there are two processes going on. And after a certain amount of time in the piece, I gave the trio the option to defect and to come over to my side so they could come over and stand by me, look at the notes that I'm playing on the organ, and try to join me at kind of the apex volume-wise of each note. And yeah, they could all have abandoned the chords if they wanted, but only Justin did in the performance.
Yeah, I did. Really pretty close to the end, too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't defect until the last couple minutes.
Yeah. And yeah, I was thinking about how any of the defectors would have this additional challenge of like, they can look at my hands and see what keys I'm playing. That is not the pitch that is coming out of the organ.
At the end, I could hear, I sort of vaguely remember this. I think I was playing a C sharp on my instrument, trying to match your E.
Oh, God.
And I was so flat from where you were. And I could hear it in the recording that I was like trying to like like, wrench it up.
Yeah. Yeah, that is certainly, Keegan had that experience in our rehearsal a few days prior to that, mm-hmm. that he was just like, what note are you even playing?
Is that why he didn't defect? He didn't
It could be, yeah. Or maybe he was just waiting to see if anyone else would. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that organ is, I love that thing. It is not in tune with itself or anyone else.
Yeah, so, it's hard to play, you know, like normal music with that thing.
It's got its own system. And it seems like it changes quite often. And even during that performance, there was an extra pitched hum in there. You can kind of hear it at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what pitch that was, but yeah. Anyway, that sounded super lovely. I'm very happy with that.
Yeah. There's a lot of environment in that recording too.
Yeah.
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 I was thinking we should try something else.
Yeah, let's do it.
Before we play my piece too. Right. Have you heard about this, Monty and the Monsters?
No, but I love that name.
Okay, yeah. Dan Miller was telling me about this when I had him on this show a couple months ago.
Great.
So this is something that is sort of an ongoing project being recorded at his studio.
Nice.
And I haven't listened to this or the previous release either. But we're looking at The Riots by Monty and the Monsters. It's a 5-track thing, so you'd probably classify this as like an EP. Mm-hmm. The band description is a rock band from Shitty City, USA. this is sort of like a really ongoing rock opera thing is what Dan was telling me.
Nice.
So do any of these 5 tracks appeal to you title-wise?
Okay, let me see. Ooh, I'm stuck between track 4, which is called Billy Bob Will Never See His Ray Gun Again. and track 5, which is called Billions of These People. That's a very good title.
Yeah.
So what do you think between those?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be probably like missing some context regardless of what we pick here. But I think Billions of These People sounds pretty interesting.
Awesome.
There's a little album description here. The oligarchs have placed a ban on the creation of art. How will Shitty City react? So this is the closer from The Riots, Billions of These People by Monty and the Monsters.
Billions of these people worshiping their masses, pass around the baskets, send us to the casket, 'cause they've got a way to delegate the blame. Hey, 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 hey. Millions of those people, graves of their burnt masses, all the is obsolete, and I don't have no care for what symbols you wear. I'm just trying to get you to think. Just hope she
remember my name. Oh, I just hope she'll remember my name. Oh, I just hope she'll remember my name. Hey, hey. I just hope she'll remember my name. Oh, I just hope you'll remember my name.
That was very theatrical.
Yes, it was. But I'm normally not into that kind of thing, and I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Very interesting sort of vocal styles.
Yeah.
You know, he's playing a character. Like, you can hear it's, I think, right?
That's what I was trying. I was, as I was listening, I was like, oh, yes, a rock opera would be probably somewhat similar to a musical.
Mm-hmm.
Were there two people singing?
I don't know if there were two people, but it definitely sounded like two. It's supposed to be two different points of view, right? It may have been the same person singing both parts.
Yeah. Yeah. The voice, because the voices were similar.
Sounds really close. Yeah. Uh-huh. It might be the same guy singing two characters.
That would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool, though.
That was cool.
I'm interested in, you know, hearing more of that.
Yeah. That's a big form. A rock opera.
Yeah.
Like, that's a,
Yeah. So it look, I mean, I think they're like releasing it in sort of episodes, right? There's,
oh, I see.
This one called The Monsters from a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And then The Riots is this newer one that we were just listening from. And yeah, The Monsters is also six tracks, so it's sort of like, I don't know, an episodic rock opera, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to ask Dan for more details. I don't know.
Yeah, and the titles of the pieces seem, yeah, they definitely support that. Yeah.
The track four on The Monsters is called A Show. And it sounds good, too. The vocals are like mixed really up front. So I know, as far as I know, Dan did all the work on that. So good job, Dan.
It sounds really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds very professional.
Yeah.
I'm honestly surprised I enjoyed that as much as I did.
That's at montyandthemonsters.bandcamp.com for anyone listening to us right now.
Monty is a name that's like in my head for potential cat or child names. Mm, yeah.
Wow. Both,
Monty.
Huh?
Yeah.
Cat or child. It's one that works for humans or animals. Monty, well, there's Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons, of course,
who's
sometimes called Monty. But do you ever watch Tiny Toons? The, like, Looney Tunes
spin-off
of, like, the kids?
I've seen it, but I don't think... I've seen it, but not as much as I saw Looney Tunes itself.
Okay, yeah. I have a feeling that there's, like, this, like, small, rich kid in that show. I think his name was Monty.
That would make a ton of sense.
That's what comes to mind when I think the name Monty.
That is a rich kid name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a cartoon rich kid name.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We can listen to my piece now.
Yes.
We could, anyway, which I titled A Wind Quartet. Mm-hmm. So Christine switched from organ over to clarinet.
Yeah.
And this is also kind of like two processes happening at the same time. Similar form to yours.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a part one and a part two.
And you wrote yours first.
So you were copying.
Exactly.
So in this one, there's like a common tone that's being played just endlessly by one instrument.
Mm-hmm.
In part one, it was me on the Barry sax. In part two, it was Christine on the clarinet. And then the other three instruments are playing three other tones to build a chord with the common tone throughout. I've been teaching music theory for the past few months, you know, freshman music theory. So I've been really immersed in like four-part harmony stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a very tonal piece, which is out of the ordinary for me.
Yeah, and notated and
Mm-hmm. There's a bit of freedom to it, but it's more written than what I usually do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's listen. Thank you. big cadence.
Yeah, a nice powerful ending with that bassoon and the low.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
It's awesome.
And I was worried that I had written the flute part too low. I don't know if you remember that from my
email. I do, yeah.
And Lex was like, no, it's fine. And then they were right. It is fine.
Yeah, actually, one of the two things I wrote down on my notepad, the first one is Lex's beefy low tones.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
It's awesome.
I've been scrolling through all of the stuff on the Bandcamp. I was going to see if I could just scroll down until I saw the Deathbag album, but I kind of wanted to play something off of that.
For sure.
So Deathbag is a duo, Chris Wiersma and Gabby Vanek, both friends of ours. And as I said at the near the beginning of our conversation tonight, Chris passed away recently. So I kind of wanted to listen to something off that just as some kind of acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I might just have to type in the URL at this point. I just keep scrolling and I'm like 2 years back now.
Oh, there's Wombat.
Yeah. Tapas. That was
a while ago.
We're coming up on 2 years of that. Dang. Actually. Yeah. We were just talking about doing something for the 2 year anniversary.
Absolutely.
Of Tapas.
I'd go to that party.
Okay, Deathbag. Here is Death. Oh, that's the wrong Deathbag.
Oh, okay.
There's a Deathbag in Washington D.C.
Oh, okay. While Justin is while Justin is pulling that up, I do want to say about Justin's piece, the like stasis element of it is so great. So the stasis element being Justin at first playing that repeated note, and then it switches to me. But I love that and how it like holds you in the middle of these changing chords in a way that's really like. There's a tension to it, but it's extremely comforting at the same time.
Yeah.
I really like it. Yeah.
I'm glad that worked.
Yeah.
Because
really
I think
did.
That's kind of the idea going in to keep a common tone throughout. It's sort of like tension happens, but because it's a tension built off of a stasis, it's like not super tense.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. But it's like,
yeah.
I think I said this. I said this to somebody recently, my friend Noah Jenkins in Chicago. Anyway, it's like, something really lovely that also has teeth a little bit. And it's just like a very compelling way to keep people there. Yeah. It's great. I loved it.
And while you were saying that, I remembered I wanted to show you the cover of Molly Hatchet's Flirting with Disaster.
Oh my God.
So that's a Frank Frazetta painting.
Wow. Oh, that guy has jacked calves. Yeah.
I might use that as like the episode art for this.
Please.
That's Molly amazing. Molly Hatchet album cover.
Thank you.
Okay. So this Deathbag release, January of 22. So I was almost there when I was scrolling down.
Mm-hmm.
This was recorded live at Trumpet Blossom. I believe we were both there.
Well,
for that,
I think
right? And your name
the
is
other
in
day.
The description.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
I think all I did was lend them my Zoom. So that seems like a lot of credit for a very
easy. You got credit for...
I think I got a recording credit.
Yes, it says recorded from board and live room by Christine Burke.
That is extremely generous. Yeah.
But yeah, you were there, right?
Yeah.
I vaguely remember this. It was recorded November 11th of 2021.
Oh, right. With,
and
I
have a video of them playing from that night.
I think, I likely do too. I should look for that. That show was awesome.
Yeah. Supporting Bill with Tom Nguyen, it says.
Yeah.
That was the guy who played drums like
in
on the
middle,
floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, one of the earlier Phoebe Word things coming back, you know, after the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to plug here really quickly. Mm-hmm. At the music library, we are going to do an exhibit of like 20 Feed Me Word Things posters.
Is that why you've been talking to the tiny little
Amherst? Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
I can't remember if this is on the list or not. I was trying to get a good both aesthetic combination and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, please stop by the music library. They're going to be displayed prominently. They're going to look amazing because the poster designs are...
They're very nice. Yeah.
They're so...
I've always been impressed by those.
Yeah. And now that I've collected them, it's like each season... A Feed Me Weird Things has, it's like the artwork is the season too.
yeah.
You see very distinct changes between each season.
Yeah. The 2018 season, which was the first time that I played on Feed Me Weird Things, all the posters were sort of like cassette label designs.
Oh, that's because they're kind of that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, stop by the music library, come check it out. You'll be able to QR code to all the artists that are on these posters.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
By music library, she means the University of Iowa music library in Voxman Music Building.
Yes.
So we were at the show, but I have not actually listened to the recording of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know which of these tracks is like what. Which one do you think we should listen to? I mean, that one definitely jumps out at me. The Slavering Filth Pig.
Yeah, let's do it.
You want to try that?
Yep.
Okay, so this is Slavering Filth Pig by Deathbag. A tribute to Chris Wiersma. And I know that he and Gabby had been working on like a proper album, which I mm-hmm. think is like nearly ready for public consumption. So
yeah,
watch out for that in the near future. Probably mm-hmm. It's going to sell really well now, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Congrats, Chris.
Yeah. That's one way to do it, I guess.
Yeah. Not worth it, buddy.
Yeah, no.
Okay, here's a Slavering Filth Pig by Deathbag. Thank you. that's the beginning of terminal burrowing. They kind of bleed into each other. I forgot to mention the album is called Stoop Goblin Suite.
Great titles. I was thinking that was really the perfect track to pick because it pretty much tied together everything we listened to today.
Yeah, it really did, honestly.
The synths. Yeah. And then we have Gabby's beefy low notes.
Yeah,
which,
I was thinking
oh
the same
my
thing.
God.
Sounds yeah. really good in that recording.
Amazing. Yeah. And then what was tension. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially at the end there, man. When Gabby goes up real high.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like hits her full range in that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And it was so lyrical and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy, what's the word?
Are you thinking juxtaposition?
Yes, thank you.
Because I was thinking the exact same
yep.
word.
Okay. Excellent. That's, yeah. I don't think I would have gotten there without help, so thank you.
I'm glad that we were on the same page. Yeah.
Between the title and the music. again, that was, is it slavering or slavering?
I guess I don't know. I don't really know what that word means.
I don't,
now that,
I'm going to look it
now
up.
Now that we're really digging into
this
it.
This is educational.
But yeah, the juxtaposition between the title Slavering Filth Pig and like the beauty of that track.
Yeah.
And the beauty of the band Deathbag playing that also. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I haven't listened back to this, but I was at the show and I do remember that. I remember that moment being like, oh my God, like they're, this is like so nice.
Yeah. Do you remember that this was the track that did that?
No. I don't think they told us any titles or anything.
No,
the night of.
I'm not sure if I'm remembering this from this show or if it was a different Deathbag show where Gabby plays part of the Mozart bassoon concerto. I think that happened earlier in this show.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember.
Okay,
I don't
so
remember that part.
I looked up. Okay, is it going to tell us how to pronounce it?
Slaver.
Slaver. Okay. So I think it's slavering. And what that means is.
I hope the mic picked that up really well.
Should I do it again?
Yeah, do it again. Okay.
Slaver.
So that would be slavering.
Slavering, then, right? Which means to let saliva run from the mouth. Yeah, so the example they give is the Labrador was slavering at the mouth.
Gotcha. Okay.
They should change that to
the filth pig.
The filth pig.
That should be in the dictionary. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. All right. I'll email them.
Yeah.
Let them know.
Yeah.
Google. Yeah.
Well, I usually let music like have the final word on mm-hmm. the show. So before we play something else, mm-hmm. We should have our final words.
Yes.
You know. Do you have anything coming up that you want to plug?
I don't think so, except for, I mean, please stop by. This is the Rita Benton Music Library. Mm-hmm. Stop by. We're hoping to have this up by the end of the week if the paper comes in soon.
Cool.
But it should be up for about 3 weeks. And
so it'll be up during Mission Creek.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's
a good,
serendipitous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that in it, even if the library is closed, you'll be able to see it. So it'll just kind of be in the outside windows of the library. So that's one thing I'd like to plug. I believe we are going to have a show on May 18th. Location is
I believe
TBD.
So as well.
But that will be the Christine Burke Ensemble by way of Justin, me, Lex, Mark, and Levi. And I think we're playing all new pieces from everyone except me. I don't think I'm writing anything for that one.
But everyone else is?
Yeah, everyone else
Interesting.
Is.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. I'm super excited for that. And we will be opening for a trio of Corey Reeder, Andrew Weathers and Ryan Seward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ryan Seward. I feel like I know him.
Yeah, I think that's one of internet connections. Yeah. Like one of those like we've been Facebook friends for a long time.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever met him though.
Yeah.
So yes, that should be coming up on May 18th, location TBD.
Yeah. If we figure out where that's happening, you'll see it online. And if you own a venue, let us know if you'd like us to play there. We've been working on an album for a long time.
God,
I don't know how much we should talk about that since it's not ready. But
well, yeah, that should hopefully be ready before the end of 2024.
Yeah,
that's the
goal.
So.
We've recorded
90% of it. Yep.
Yeah.
What do you have coming up?
I don't know.
Okay, cool.
Go to my website, justinkcomer.com.
Yeah.
And that's if stuff is happening, I put it up there, or I try to.
Mm-hmm.
Anything jumping out at you for a closing track? Someone with a bloody face on the ground. I don't know what that is.
I like this picture, Disregard Me by 34.
Disregard Me by 34%. Let's see what that is. This is some, I don't know who this is. I don't know what this is. At least I don't think so. Released November 26th of 2021. 34% did all. That's the credits on that one. So
nice.
It looks like it's an electronic, ambient, experimental,
perfect,
hyperpop, vaporwave. Those are some of the tags on the album there. We got five tracks: Frostbitten, Through the Vapor, To Be Ignored, Just Don't, and Disregard Me.
Just Don't.
Just Don't. Mm-hmm. That's track 4 of 5. All right. Well, do you have any predictions for this, since we're not going to talk afterwards?
Yeah.
This will be our our review before we hear it.
If there's bassoon in this, I will be incredibly...
We might have to come back on.
Yeah, I think that would require that. Yeah, that's all I have for this. What about you?
Just don't. I'm expecting a 4/4 percussion, which I like. Let's see. Yeah, we'll see if we're right. And you be the judge, listeners, because you're not going to hear from us again. Thank you, Christine, for coming on. This has been I Hear I See Radio, episode 130.
Nice. Thank you.